You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. Come get some.
IGN GameScoop. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week is Mark Medina.
Hello.
Sam Claiborne.
Hey, I almost rolled away there for a second.
And making her inaugural GameScoop appearance, Janet Garcia is joining us today. Janet, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Good to be here.
She's been on before.
No,
not on GameScoop.
Yes, she has.
No, I have not. That is a lie.
So look, it's 2-1. She's been on.
So welcome to the show. Janet is on our guides team. She's been working very hard on the Luigi's Mansion 3 guide, which I want to talk about in just a little bit. But first, we have a great show for you this week. We'll talk about Luigi's Mansion and other spooky games. We got to talk about more crazy drama that's happening with Ghost Recon Breakpoint. Another spooky game, because Ghost is in the title. But first, some housekeeping, general announcements. This is actually the second Game Spook episode we've recorded in a week. We had another
The third ever.
We had another one that we recorded with Justin and Tina, where we all dressed up as Goose Camp counselors.
It's true.
Unfortunately, there was a technical issue with Tina's microphone where she's very hard to hear in the episode. So we're recording another one. And the good news is that you're going to get a bonus episode, because we will put out that episode. It just needs some editing and massaging. We're going to add subtitles underneath Tina so you can actually hear what, you know, read what she's saying.
You'll survive.
Yeah. So that will take a little bit more time, but we're going to try to get that up in time for Halloween. And now you're getting another full length Game Spook episode. We're really spoiling you guys this year.
Need to see those other costumes, because there's some good costumes up here right now, but is those ones match and they're kind of themed, and I think they're really cute.
I thought we were
is it just not going to hit audio feeds? Or?
We're not going to explain what our costumes
that's
are.
That's true. That's a good point. I should point out, it won't really work in an audio format, so if you generally a podcast listener, jump on over to our YouTube channel to check out that episode. Very special.
Or just crank it like super
bonus.
Loud.
Well, it's not going to work. I tried cranking it super loud when I was editing it. And also, if you're listening at home, if we sound different today, we may be in costume today. Who knows? The only way to know is to go to youtube.com/gamescoop and see for yourself.
Mm-hmm. And you got a good URL for that.
I
got in there early.
I was, domain name camping to get that one. Let's talk about Luigi's Mansion, which is actually coming out on Halloween Day.
Can we say let's check in with Luigi's Mansion?
Let's check in with Luigi's Mansion.
Hey, Luigi's Mansion.
It's a little unusual that they decided to put it out on Halloween.
Yeah.
I would think, why not put it out a week early so you could spend some time? Because on November 1st, no one wants to play a spooky game.
It's done.
That's true.
It's done.
I thought it was a good promotional stunt, but now I'm thinking it's a bad one.
You just got to play through it all that night or else.
Is that possible?
I wore a Santa hat once.
It'd be a really long night.
I wore a Santa hat once on December 26th, and I got
Yeah, no.
Raked over the coals.
You should have been sent.
Is over.
You should have been sent to jail. Jana, do you like Luigi's Mansion 3?
Yeah, I love it. It's okay, my favorite of the series so far. I've played both the other ones, Luigi's Mansion and Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon. I think this is like by far the best.
That's good.
The best game starring Luigi?
Yes.
I can only think of one other, and it's Super Luigi U.
Yeah.
What about Mario's Missing?
Close.
A learning game.
I know Mario's missing in that game. I have the game on my desk.
In the title.
But I don't know if you play as Luigi.
You 100% play as Luigi.
Okay. Can you play as the princess?
No.
Are you like an expert on Mario's Missing?
It's a great game. I was fooled when I was a younger boy thinking that it was just a Mario game. And now I realize that was a learning game.
It's a Carmen Sandiego knockoff.
No.
Oh my gosh.
They tricked also, you into learning.
And it came out on PC.
It's for NES and Super NES, but I didn't know that until I was an adult. I played the
Did
Super
you know
NES
it was on PC?
I just learned that.
Yeah.
Like
that,
just when he said that?
That
like
Mario's like Time Machine.
I was today years old.
Yeah. And Mario's Teaches Typing are all DOS based Nintendo games.
Oh, interesting.
And they're all on my desk. If you have a DOS computer, we can play them.
I'll look.
But
I don't think I do.
3¼-inch floppy.
But Luigi's Mansion 3.
Yeah,
I've actually never played a Luigi's Mansion, but it sounds like this is the one for me to play.
Yeah, I would say so. It's so beautiful looking. I was playing it a lot at work, of course, and someone walking by my desk mentioned that like seeing Luigi's Mansion, it was a reminder of how nice games can look on the Switch when they're like first party and built directly for Switch. You know, obviously Switch is kind of infamous for like ports that don't look quite as polished, but this game looks absolutely beautiful. It has a lot of like these nice little cinematic moments. So it feels very like cartoonish, storybook. It's very playful of a narrative. Luigi's always, in my opinion, had a little bit more character of the two Mario brothers. Cause like Mario's thing is just like, he's Mario and he's great. And he's like excellent at jumping around and saving the day. And Luigi's
a little bashful.
Is he?
I think so.
I don't know.
Mario's like, bashful? That's how you describe him?
Yeah, he seems pretty outgoing.
I think sometimes when the princess is talking to them, he's like, ho, 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 ho.
Well, that's more like a
he's hot and bothered.
He gets hot and bothered. I think he's bashful.
Hmm. I think he's a little flirty, and I think that's what that is.
Maybe.
He's playing it up.
What's Luigi's role in that?
He's like, mamma mia.
Oh, and that, I don't know. Though, in the hotel, and this is only like spoilers for the opening cutscene, it's, you know, all of them going on vacation, so it's Mario, Luigi, Princess Peach, and like three toads, I think. So there's like several toads there. Mm. And they all have their own room.
They shall remain nameless.
Yes, the toads. Mario and Peach have separate rooms. Now, I don't know if that was just like a hotel accommodation thing, but like...
I think that's their setup, right?
I don't think they're just friends.
Yeah.
They're all pals.
Does Luigi get like a ghost girlfriend?
No, but he has a ghost dog. That's cool. You can pet the dog.
So
confirmed.
Tell me if this is a spoiler, but do all the others go missing and Luigi has to?
I would say it's not a spoiler. It's pretty much how
every setup.
Yeah, okay. You know, Luigi gets duped into. Oh, I want a mansion. I got a vacation. Like he's always kind of falling for these little traps.
Oh, that old
sucker.
You know, King Boo is back. So when he's always like the evil mastermind behind everything. So all your friends get trapped into portraits, and King Boo wants to trap Luigi also into a portrait. He saved a special portrait just for him. You run away, and that's kind of the opening of the game.
So you go into paintings like in Mario 64?
You don't go into paintings. You're just trying to retrieve your friends from a painting. They're like trapped beneath like a magical kind of thing. So they're in there, and you have to like use your dark light, which is back in this game, to reveal them. It's kind of like that. The dark light's what you use to interact with objects to kind of reveal mysteries and secrets. One thing I really love about this game that I think a lot of people that are fans of the franchise are going to enjoy is it's no longer hyper linear. So a lot of criticism with Dark Moon is that it was level based. So you had multiple mansions, but it was like this mansion, here's your score, here's like the time. And it kind of ended and you could go back, but it did feel kind of like stiffer to have to adventure that way. Here, it's obviously gated by like you need to get the elevator button to go to the next place. You know, it's not just like open world and you can go wherever, but you can seamlessly go between floors, take the elevator. It feels very much like you are traveling and experiencing this hotel. And I love the creativity with the floors. It is not a mansion. I did ask the Nintendo reps about this.
False advertising.
I'm like, why is it called Luigi's Mansion 3 if he is not in a mansion? And they said that's just the name of the franchise. So. Okay. Yes.
I thought they said, how did you find us at this bar?
Boilerplate PR answer.
So who knows where Luigi will go next. But yeah, the levels get really creative. They start off very, without giving too much away, they start off very like what you'd expect for a hotel. So like the main room, the guest rooms, you know, the like some shops, a restaurant, and then it gets like really strange. Like at one point you're like in a pyramid environment. At one point you're in like a garden-y area.
That sounds so much better than the spooky house trappings of the previous games.
Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah, I think it opens it up for a lot more creativity. One other big thing that I really enjoyed about this game, and you know, Sam, maybe this will help you enjoy the franchise more, because I know you're always like, Luigi's Mansion's a little bit boring. Typically the combat
he always says that.
Yes.
I know you guys are sick of me talking about Luigi's Mansion every day, but you guys sit the closest to me.
If you didn't, yes, if you didn't know, Sam is not a fan of Luigi's Mansion games. He thinks they're boring, and the combat is usually very slow. It's like stun a ghost, suck it up, and it takes a long time. You're very weak, and there's all these other ghosts around you that hit you while you're doing it, so it can be kind of frustrating. Those of you who played the first and second game, but here you have like a suction shot to attack. You have a blast that kind of like pushes enemies away, and what I love the most is you have a slam ability. So you can stun a ghost, vacuum it up, and slam that ghost into another ghost. You can even slam it into like glass cases and break things. You can kind of destroy a lot of the environment. So people that like exploring and messing around with everything and trying to figure out, I wonder what I can get away with. Like I've played through this game one time to 100% completion, and then I'm going kind of like through a second-ish playthrough as I write the guide, and I keep experimenting with things and like discovering new stuff I can do. Like there's this one boss where traditionally you'd like pull it off with like a suction shot to like move his, he has like kind of a little shield, and I'm like, I wonder if I take that pumpkin in the corner, if I can just shoot the pumpkin at him. And you can. Like you can pick up like weird stuff in your vacuum, like a chainsaw, like a bucket.
Fast enough that
sounds
combat
like ghost abuse
feels cool though. Like I feel like Luigi's always like kind of slowly moving in that game.
Yeah, I'd say it's pretty quick. And then especially another big thing with this game is you can play almost the entire game co-op with Guigi, so you can have two players on screen, which also makes that go a lot faster.
Are you a fan of Guigi?
I am a big fan of Guigi.
Okay,
pro Guigi.
I'm pro Guigi.
Do you like Guigi more than Luigi?
No, because without Luigi, there would be no Guigi.
Do you like Guigi more than Mario?
Do I like Luigi more than Mario? No, because I still like Mario's games.
Well, we've ranked the
that's the official
ranking. Brothers.
yeah.
I think the next Luigi's Mansion needs to be in space. And I think it could be Luigi's Mansion Galaxy. Or just Luigi's Galaxy.
And I was waiting for them, like, spoilers, you don't go to space. I was waiting for them to go to space because it kept getting amazing. Yeah, because it kept getting crazier and crazier. I'm like, where are we going to go next? Yeah. What's the next thing I'm going to see? But yeah, I really love this game. A lot of the traditional trappings are there if you're a fan of the franchise, but there's also some things to like make it feel a little bit fresher and faster. If you're someone that either never played these games or played them before, but they didn't really like connect with you, I think this is definitely a good time to check it out.
Is it the best Nintendo game this year?
I mean, no, Nintendo's having a great year. Mario Maker 2, Link's Awakening, Fire Emblem.
I'll take Mario Maker 2 off that list. Didn't play Fire Emblem.
You take it off the list?
I would take it on that list. Like, that's the one I would pick.
Okay, gotcha.
I didn't play Fire Emblem, and what was the other? Link's Awakening, it's fine.
Like, fine.
It's fine.
All right.
It also came out like a really long time ago. I feel like this is kind of like a
Wait,
weird
Link's
thing.
Awakening?
I know you guys just had
like 2 weeks ago.
The remake conversation, whether or not they're good, you know, that you guys had that
they
conversation earlier. Yeah, I think they are good.
We've solved that.
Exactly. But I also like, for me, I like to think of the year in like what game design stuff came out this year that's brand new rather than like, okay, rehashed an idea that you had like in the 90s. It's really cool. It's great that you did that. But like when
Janice
I think of
said
best,
that I keep on saying Resident Evil 2 is the best game this year.
When I think of what's the best of the year, I try to think of like what game design innovation has come out in this year.
That's so, fair.
Yeah.
She keeps bringing this up whenever we talk about Resident Evil 2.
Yes.
Well, we're not going to
game of the year, in her opinion, should not be a remake. Right?
That's valid. Let's table that discussion for a later day.
No, we're having it
when we're talking about game of the year. I want to check out Luigi's Mansion 3. Hopefully, I can finish it all tomorrow night because I can't play. And once the clock strikes November 1st, yeah. I'm only playing Thanksgiving games.
It's about it's about 15 hours to
What's
finish
your
it. So you're going to have to really.
Oh man, you know it's hard just pick just one.
Super Smash Bros. Melee, it's my favorite game.
It's time. Year to play spooky games, but I have a big question for you guys. Have you ever actually seriously been scared by a game?
100%.
Wow.
100%.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I don't think I have, but what game?
Slender, like the cheap like PC one,
that's
like the
still
first one that came out.
I've never played that. I know that scares people.
It's terrifying. I'd have like people come over and like we do like a Halo Land party, and I'm like, all right, guys, party's wrapping up. Let's all play Slender. And well,
but
let's
the party was wrapping.
It was still
Slender.
Scary with a bunch of your friends there.
It's terrifying.
Can you set up what Slender is? Because I actually didn't even know about the game until I was in college and played it for the first time. And I was whoa.
Like, so this game, like, there's like pretty much no story. It's just like you're just in the woods, and the only thing you hear is like from your walking. You have a flashlight, but if you run, your flashlight goes down. Mm. That's terrifying. And then you, so it's just fine. It's just quiet. It's just, and then you see eventually find a page. And when you click on it, it'll be like a page and it'll be like a skinny, you know, like a stick figure. And then you hear boom, boom.
Like a gong?
And then you just hear that. And it, and then eventually, every so often, you may see him out there. And it's
so is he indeed a Slender Man?
How do you beat the game?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know what the point is. What's the point of this game?
It's Slenderman. It's to get all eight pages. Okay. But I think you'll probably get caught before you can do it. I'm sure some people can do it.
Right. Okay. What's on the pages again? Is it like a hint to the murders that took place?
Yeah, it's like in that one, which is like...
Are the
like,
pages just really mean stuff?
No. It's like...
You're
he's in the
job.
Woods. Oh, okay. It's like scratch writing,
yeah,
or it's like a picture of him.
Right. Yeah, it's like from that, people that have encountered
insane, but
Slender
they
Man.
Like drew something.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's super scary.
Yeah. Then it was like, then they like remade it and it was like Slender Man, the eight pages. And like that one you can sprint and it's just like a remake, but it's not as good. Play the original Slender. It's terrifying.
Well, okay.
It's not called Slender Man, damn it. He's up.
It's true.
I really enjoyed your audio effects. Like, I was very immersed in that story.
Right?
It was good.
Thank you.
Yeah, but I don't understand if you've done that so many times before, why was it spooky the second time, let alone the other
times? I'd be interested to know if it was still spooky. I got to try it. This was back when I was, like, you know, just graduated high school and stuff like
it's
that.
It's definitely a game you have to play, like, with all the lights off.
Oh, yeah.
Close
to the
screen.
Oh, yeah, that's what we would do.
I think part of, like, and for me, I totally was scared, even though I played near friends. And it's, like, exciting
your
because I was, like, you know, next to
the proximity of friends.
Yeah. Right. You know, someone will scream, and then you'll kind of freak out, too. Like, it's definitely, like...
Well, so are you playing this one?
No.
I'm out of here.
The old one, yeah.
Yeah, the original...
The original one. You have to.
Okay, yes. That's the one you've played.
Yes.
Yeah, it's so you can back me up. It's terrifying.
It is terrifying. Even it's crazy, because it's so low graphically that you would think it would be scary.
Yeah, the graphics are, like, real old, but it's spooky.
Yes.
Scariest game I've ever played.
Okay.
All right.
Wait, did we hear a scary game from Janet that wasn't Slender Man?
No. Scary games.
A game that actually scared you.
Resident Evil 7 was pretty scary. So the last Resident Evil game that came out. I don't actually play a lot of horror games. Mm. I think that was actually probably the first one I played in its entirety. I did a weird thing. I don't know if anyone else out there listening does this, but sometimes I will co-op a single player game. So I'll just pass the controller back and forth and like share the save file. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, we're kind of playing it together. It's especially good for like longer games or even just like a game like Resident Evil 7 where it's not terribly long, but like we knocked that out in about like a day and a half. It was a Redbox rental. So
you
played
only
it really
have a day
cheap.
And a half.
We only had that day. I'm like, you got to finish it now. So we were just like beaming through that. And it was there's just a lot of horrifying things in that game. Like I remember being really... I think the scariest part of that game for me was probably like the most jump scare heavy section where you're like walking around looking for, I forgot the character's name, but the mother of like that family and she'll just like jump up. And if she sees you, it's pretty much like game over for that section. Yeah. That was just horrifying.
And she chases you around that dining room for a long time.
Yeah. And,
I hate that part.
I was also pretty scared at like one of the earlier scenes where, you're being chased by the dad and like
and
followed by
through the wall.
Yes. And, I loved playing that game too because, once again, I didn't really play horror before that even because I'm just not that into horror games.
Have you played Bioshock?
I have not played Bioshock. Okay. I played a little bit of it and then I just like stopped and didn't finish it. It has a lot of like that opening scene with like the baby silhouette, that was really scary. But with Resident Evil 7, like I remember like I had this distinct moment with my friend where we were running from the dad of that family. We ran into the bathroom and then we're like, okay, I hope he doesn't. If he just passes us, we're good. And but we like didn't have any other place to go. So we like hid behind the door of the bathroom and he opened the bathroom, but you know, you can't see someone cause we were behind the door he opened. And I'm like, okay, it's going to be fine. And then he just literally turned and like looked exactly where we were. And we had like no place to go. And you have like no weapons in that game, especially early on. You don't have like anything really to defend yourself. And I think that's like a great mark of like true horror and being afraid and like, and just having to feel powerless. Yeah. I like the game a lot. And I played it, you know, with the lights off and like a big TV.
I heard great mark and I zoned out.
Okay, well, I loved Resident Evil 4, or 7, but I wouldn't say it like scared me like in the way that there's been a few movies I've seen in my life that actually scare me, where like long time after the movie, I'm still like thinking about it and it's creeping me out at night and like I'm having trouble sleeping. Like no game I don't think has ever had that effect on me.
Have you at least jumped while playing a game?
Yeah, sure. That'll happen.
What was the last time you jumped at a game?
I don't know. Maybe Resident Evil 7. Maybe Resident Evil 2. Paranormal Activity.
And also Ghost. You hate Ghost, right? It's too scary.
The movie Ghost.
The movie Ghost. Yep.
And it's mostly just because I had a really terrible experience with pottery as a kid. So there are spooky games. And then with this sort of a rise in games as a service in recent years, that provides opportunities for games that aren't usually that spooky to have spooky events.
Yeah.
Through Halloween themed events, timed events.
Borderlands is doing one.
Borderlands is doing a big one that lasts into December.
Ooh. I know. Amanda's like, oh, we're not going to be here this weekend. And by next weekend, like the Halloween will be over. I was like, no, it's going to December.
Yeah. Now, I've never seen Nightmare Before Christmas, but from what I understand from going on the completely ruined Haunted Mansion ride to Disneyland last time I was on it,
the ride is ruined?
Because they add all this dumb Nightmare Before Christmas stuff to it.
Gotcha.
And that ride's perfect
wouldn't
already.
Maybe it would be ruined if you'd seen the movie.
Well, from what I understand, it really connects Halloween to Christmas. And so maybe
it's the sure movie does.
Yeah.
There's some kind of like arc in spookiness that has been accepted in popular culture.
It's hard to know whether you should watch that movie at Halloween time or Christmas time.
Yeah,
it could be either.
I think it had a lot to do with ticket sales.
Yeah, you should probably just split the difference and watch it at Thanksgiving.
It's a Thanksgiving movie.
You think if I saw that movie, I would like the ride better? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think you would appreciate what the ride was trying
more,
to do.
I guess. Sure.
Have you guys been on the ride?
I have not.
No.
They just put a bunch of toys in
Disneyland
that are from that dumb movie.
The movie's great.
Slender Man.
I've collected a bunch of the Halloween events that are going on in live service games right now. Apex Legends is having the Fight or Fright collection event. Anyone check this one out?
Nope.
This one runs from October 15th to November 5th, and it adds a limited time mode called Shadowfall, featuring a nighttime version of the King's Canyon map. You know what happens in this mode, Mark?
What's that?
It's pretty clever. Now, 35 players in this mode, and then when you die, you respawn as an undead version of your legend, and you join the Shadow Squad.
That sounds terrifying.
And you lose your weapons and abilities, but you have a powerful melee attack, and you're really fast.
Sounds like I'd rather just die right away.
That's what I'm saying.
Play as the
that sounds
scary
more
guy.
Fun. Yeah.
Do you think the melee attack is a jump kick?
Probably like a spinning jump kick.
That constant spin, Double Dragon style.
During the Fight or Fright collection event, that you'll also be able to earn some free cosmetics, including two legendary weapon skins, and this is all part of Season 3 that just started. That runs until February, and they added a new legend named Crypto, new weapon called the Charge Rifle, and the new map, World's End. That's all going on in Apex Legends right now. And EA just released their financial earnings yesterday, I believe. And Apex Legends and their other live service games are doing super well for EA. And so well, in fact, they said they're going to double down on their games as a service.
Do you think that, okay, but as the games as a service system. Yeah. So, I mean, I think what we're excited for is another Titanfall campaign.
Yeah,
and I think this does make it more likely. I don't think it makes it less likely. But.
Except, Respawn will be delivering Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order next month, which is looking really, really good.
That has giant robot things you can control
that's
in
true.
It.
Yeah, that's true. They also announced that there's going to be no Battlefield next year, which is a little bit surprising, because usually there's been a Battlefield every 2 years for quite some time.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no battle anything, because then it was like Battlefront and Battlefield. And,
well,
and
the cadence, I think, would make sense for Battlefront to be out.
Yeah, we don't, yeah.
Sure.
It's possible they could have a Battlefront for next year.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't discount that.
Yeah. But there wasn't, a Battlefront this year.
Interesting.
But I don't think people are as excited for Battlefield, and it's not for, necessarily lack of quality. I know people that like Battlefield have, said, those games are good. We have never given them bad scores. But for some reason, the hype is gone. I don't know if they can't nail the setting or if there's been some, issues with keeping the community.
Yeah.
Maybe this gap will help kind of build up that excitement, having it away for a little bit.
Maybe that's just what that series needs. Yeah. All right. Destiny 2 is having the Festival of the Lost that runs until November 19th. This is where guardians wear masks and head to the Haunted Forest. I checked in with Destin about this. You have 15 minutes to defeat terrors and collect both candy and chocolate coins. And then you turn them in for lost rewards.
All right.
Then over in World of Warcraft Classic and Modern, they have Hallow's End. You've played this?
Oh, yeah. So I played Hallow's End for 8 years, and I love the holidays in those games because you can go trick-or-treat and do stuff, and I loved it.
There's a Headless Horseman?
Yeah. Yeah, there sure is. You can get his mount, all that fun stuff.
Pulling them out. It's a horseless headman.
But it's a horse that when they introduce flying mounts, it's a horse that you can ride, but then fly up into the air. Oh, super cool.
Yeah, flying mounts.
Cool.
Yeah.
Overwatch has Halloween Terror, where you can earn Halloween-themed skins and in-game rewards. Final Fantasy XIV celebrates All Saints' Wake. That's the Final Fantasy World's version of Halloween. And you can win a pumpkin carriage outdoor furnishing, Mark.
That sounds
believe that?
That sounds great.
Have you ever heard of such a thing?
Never.
Hearthstone has the Doom of the Tomb.
I just have a question real quick.
Yeah.
Have you ever played an MMO?
No.
MMO.
Neither have I.
Never?
I've never played an MMO.
So much of a time sink.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
100% is. When World of Warcraft Classic came out, I was like, I'm going to play this. And it took like an hour to get to level 3. And I was like, I'm not going to play this.
Maybe we should pick an MMO every year and just play the Halloween stuff.
Works for me.
Like we're going to start and play.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
It would make so much sense.
You remember the Star Wars MMO, the one before Old Republic?
Oh, yeah.
Wait,
the galaxies?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't remember it because I've never seen it or played it or know anything about it. But
everyone gathering to watch the servers get shit off. They did this whole like
live show
and everyone gathered because it's like this whole spectacle. And then
that seems so sad.
MMO shutdowns are really interesting.
Yeah.
Hearthstone has the Doom in the Tomb event, which if I try to talk about it, Sam will lose his mind and shut me down.
Well, I don't think anybody here wants to hear about card games today.
Well, Rocket League.
You lost your card game allies, Damon. You're outnumbered.
I only had one card game ally.
Yeah, I don't know what Tina's opinion on card games are.
I can get Tom Marks in here to talk about card games.
No,
Rocket League has Haunted Hallows. Have you checked this one out, Mark?
Nope.
I thought you liked Rocket League.
I love it.
Well,
but I haven't jumped in as of late.
Haunted Hallows, they partner with Stranger Things for an upside down version of the Farmstead map.
See, here's where you've lost me because I watched the first two episodes of Stranger Things and I was bored out of my mind.
What?
And I couldn't bear to watch it anymore.
Season 90s one.
Kids don't understand Stranger Things.
Season one, good. Season two, bad. Season three, too boring to even get into.
Wow.
You just cemented the fact that I will never go back and watch that now.
Really?
Pokemon Go.
Well, hold on. I will not stand by you saying something that negative about Stranger Things and then lauding Rocket League. That game is the worst.
Oh, you hate Rocket League?
It's poorly controlled soccer. I don't like poor controls or soccer.
It's crazy because I was thinking.
Yeah, it's like, how can I make soccer worse? I'll get in a car.
It's so critically acclaimed. Well,
what was crazy? Oh,
controls are all intentional.
I know it's intentional, but I don't think it's well designed. No offense to the people that like it.
It's terrible.
Cars, good. Soccer, good. Yeah, Rocket League, not good.
I know you're on board with. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, well, strange.
I didn't know where you were going.
Strange, good. Things, good. Stranger Things, not great.
All right, that was a good try.
I would rather watch Stranger Things than play Rocket League.
Pokemon Go will allow you to catch the original four starters in cute costumes. And finally, Borderlands 3 is doing the Bloody Harvest event, which goes into December, early December.
You'll be playing that forever. Apparently, there's no Christmas event unless it starts the day after that ends. Who knows?
This probably is a Christmas event in Borderlands 3.
Yeah.
Non-denominational holiday event.
Oof. Yeah. All right. Let's move on. Let's move on to another.
Are those gloves getting sweaty?
Yeah, it is a little sweaty in my gloves. Yeah. I was thinking about taking one off so I can do this. This episode of Game Scoop is brought to you by NordVPN. As Scoop Nation knows, your Omega Cops have been a little obsessed with a movie called Weekend at Bernie's lately. But as happens too often these days, it is difficult to find it streaming here in the US. That's where NordVPN comes in. With NordVPN, you can switch your virtual location to a more enlightened region where they appreciate the comic delights of Weekend at Bernie's. And it's not just for streaming movies and shows. Switching your virtual location can allow you to save money by purchasing flights, hotels, and subscriptions from other countries at a cheaper price. And you can do all this worry-free as NordVPN threat protection features protect you from viruses, malware, and phishing sites. Best of all, NordVPN costs the price of a cup of coffee a month, and one account can be used on up to 6 devices. To get the best discount on your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/gamescoop. Our link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. That's nordvpn.com/gamescoop. 1 in 5 Americans has learned a new language on their bucket list, or life backlog, if you will. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Upgrade your personal skill set in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Its tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. I have a trip to Mexico coming up, so I've been using Babbel to brush up on my Spanish. The courses are short and sweet, so I can do one whenever I have a few minutes to spare. And the words and phrases it teaches you are designed for practical, real-world use, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions. Babbel can even provide you feedback on your pronunciation with its speech recognition tech. And it's not just for Spanish. Babbel includes 14 different language courses, each backed by a 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for Scoop Nation. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, only for our listeners, at babbel.com/gamescoop. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/gamescoop, spelled BABBEL.com/gamescoop. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Paperboy.
Yeah. Turn down a little bit.
The proper way to remove a glove of the empire is to pull off one finger at a...
I hate that so much.
I've never
also, how would you know that, Sam?
It's from the Star Wars.
Are you with?
Well, I've seen a lot of Star Trek.
Yeah, it does get a little warm in these gloves.
Yeah.
But I'm dedicated to it. All right, let's. Oh, the mouse actually still works while I wear the glove.
Oh, there you go.
Whoa, those are those new fancy gloves that can probably use an iPhone.
These gloves are not fancy. Ghost Recon Breakpoint. If you remember last week or the week before that, man,
that was a spooky game.
That game was not received well, and Ubisoft even fully admitted it on their financial call.
They missed out on some haunted jokes.
Yves Guillemot said himself, the game has been strongly rejected by a significant portion of the community.
So, there's people that made that game, and we editorially try to never say negative things about people that make games, but we can talk about how the games are bad and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But like, if I was, the head of a company and those people made a game, I'd at least also mention, we're really proud of this game, but
proud of the work that our team
did. Work out instead of saying, the community hates this game.
Well,
that was harsh.
But did you see the news today? They're gonna just like completely overhaul the game and
they're gonna make it radical.
Try to make it into something that people like.
They're gonna try No Man's Sky.
The team posted a blog post.
Fallout 76, right?
I mean, yeah.
Well, Fallout 76 did not work out.
It's working great for Fallout 76.
Jenny, you're very good at recapping what I said last week on GameScoop. Yeah. I really appreciate it.
She watched the episode. She just couldn't hear Tina the whole time.
The thing that you don't know is that Janet uses this against me more than supporting.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, one time you said this, and you're like, you're probably right, Janet. I like it.
So the Ghost Recon Breakpoint dev team posted a blog post that said, "We are aware that some of the design choices made have caused polarized reactions and discussions regarding the direction taken by the Ghost Recon franchise. We are working on a more radical and immersive version of Ghost Recon Breakpoint."
Radical.
You bring that skate or die music for the radical part?
Skate or die.
Die, 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 die.
Isn't that crazy? Like, they're basically saying...
They're turning into a snowboarding game.
Thanks for buying our game. Sorry you didn't like it. We're going to turn it into something different sometime down the road.
They said that war games aren't selling anymore.
Said he wanted something spooky.
Something radical.
I don't know, man. It's like, this is strange times where you can release a game.
Yeah.
It's poorly received, so they're like, okay, we're just gonna change it into something else that hopefully
We know that Ubisoft is like better than other people at like sharing assets across a bunch of studios, and making sure that they can like churn out games a little bit faster than people that are of generally really high quality. So I bet this is a good thing because the team gets to keep working on the project, and then they get to maybe not start from scratch. I think that's pretty interesting, but I don't know where they're gonna go with this.
Like, No Man's Sky.
I just noticed.
Right. It's like No Man's Sky is... What are you guys laughing at?
Nothing.
Nothing.
What Continue. Happened?
Nothing.
Please check out the show on YouTube.
Nothing happened.
Are you watching it? You literally flipped your wig over this news.
It's good. Yeah.
So up in arms.
Yeah.
Ghost Recon news.
I mean, that was pretty radical.
You
never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hopefully that'll stay.
Said he wanted something spooky.
Guys, it's a wig. It wasn't just my hair.
I thought you dyed your hair blue.
I'm sorry to let you down.
Anyways. Let me ask this.
There's literally no point in me even finishing that sentence.
I have a question. Is your wig specifically that wig?
No.
Okay, it's just
no.
Which is really impressive.
Let me tell you the story.
Well, no, that's
no,
not.
No, we're not explaining costumes.
No. Don't want to hear the story.
If anybody ever explains their costume to you just unprompted, don't trust them.
Yeah, no.
Okay, then no.
Were you saying something about Ghost Recon, or can we move on?
It's fine. Okay. I was saying something about Ghost Recon, but then my wig fell off, and it just created the biggest distraction, and who cares anymore?
I wasn't going to say anything, but then everyone else started laughing. It was like kids in class. I'm like, well, now we have to acknowledge it.
And I was like, why is everyone laughing? But you're laughing at me.
With Ghost Recon, yeah, it is crazy that we live in a time where you can so heavily patch a game that it is almost a new game. It reminds me of that classic thing of like, if you take all the parts of a chair and make a new chair, is it still the same chair? Obviously with Ghost Recon, I'm sure it's like core identity will still remain intact, but like if so many of the trappings are different, it's just like a weird situation.
It is weird.
I think especially in terms of like critical discussion, and it's unfortunate that like, you know, and we do re-reviews here at IGN. I think, you know, I'm sure we're not the only outlet that does that from time to time, but it's hard because that area is always murky. Like, when do we do it? Should we do it? Does it matter at this point? Does the audience care at this point? And I think that's really unfortunate for like the idea of, you know, the team going back and making it better. Like, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, but it sucks that we don't really have like the way discussion moves in games. Like, it's always moving forward. So it's kind of like, will we even be around to like appreciate and really fully discuss this game when it does, you know, reach its end or have its refresh?
So. What if the examples that you mentioned of No Man's Sky and Fallout are like success stories in some respect, and people are seeing that as like, oh, because this worked for No Man's Sky, and I don't know if it did or not. Maybe we should do this.
No Man's Sky worked. Fallout's,
I think there's like shorter term examples of this. Like, I mean, Destiny 2 is kind of an example of that, where like it didn't grab people, and now it is. So like, I think the sticking, and also like Ubisoft famously has the games like For Honor, which just like started at one size and got bigger and bigger and bigger, and Rainbow Six,
the First Division.
So it's like they clearly see that like there's some like cost analysis here that, you know, the audience will stick through it. It'll cost us less money than starting from scratch, and like this will work. But I don't know if we should be like, as an audience, excited or reinforcing that. Or it's like a whole new world to see games having such a long lifespan.
Yeah.
Also, strange. Is it the same chair? You never answered that.
I've never heard that about a chair. I've heard it about a car, but I guess, I mean, it all works, right?
First thing I thought was chair and robot, and I'm like, robot's way less common than chair. Is it the same chair? Yes.
Cool. So I agree with you. And then
Serial number still on the chair?
That reminded me in Japan, there's temples that are, you know, 1,100 years old, and then every part of that has been replaced because it's made out of wood. Mm. They just refresh those, but they, you know, are in the same place. They look exactly the same, and they've been identical, but like every single thing's been removed or replaced in it. Hmm. You know where that happens also? In a Star Trek transporter?
Yeah.
Like the atoms that are reassembled, people are not the atoms that were them originally.
It's new atoms.
Right. Now it's getting really spooky.
Yeah. So it's like it takes a snap image of you and your neurons and everything, and it says like this
and
is
breaks you down.
And yeah, and
then, that sounds painful.
And then you just reappear as like some reassembly.
Well,
so then the other person's now dead.
Yeah,
they're just vaporized.
So that's what's going on with Ghost Recon.
Yes.
That's true.
That is replace every piece of Ghost Recon.
And please correct me if I'm wrong about this, because I all I'm thinking about is episodes where there's horrible transporter issues. But it is true that they never duplicate people that way.
Have you seen the movie?
No, they don't go into it that deeply. Now I have questions. More questions than answers.
I think this should watch now a separate podcast.
Prestige is like that.
David Cronenberg's The Fly.
Yeah, that's true too.
To see how things can go very badly when you try to teleport something. Mm-hmm. Organic tissue. Let's move on and talk about some next-gen stuff. We are just about a year away from PlayStation 5. Mm-hmm. And just to be safe...
Was that Castlevania?
Yes, but which one?
I was going to say 3.
It is 3.
Because one, I know the music for better, but I can always hear after that dee 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 dee.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's pretty good.
Because it counts down your life bar and everything. Yeah. I just hear
that's
that.
That's not part of the music track, but yeah. Just to be safe, Sony has gone ahead and trademarked PlayStations 6 through 10.
Yeah.
So those are locked up.
I think that's a really cute story. I mean, first of all, they could call the next PlayStation whatever they want to call it. But I just think it's neat that, like, you know, they're sticking with this numbering system because there hasn't been a system that's really done that.
Yeah, it's true. Like every other system has sort of.
They won't always want to rebrand and make it cool and different. And like sometimes that really doesn't work. Hmm. But I don't know. Like it seemed to have worked for the PS4 because isn't it like the highest selling system? It'll never pass PS2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like, should have passed Wii, if not, you know, it's sometimes in the near future.
Yeah.
I always get scared. I like hold my breath. Like, it's like, you know, PS5's coming out next year, and you're just like, just be called PlayStation 5.
It is.
And then it gets called PlayStation 5, and you're like, oh, okay. Yeah.
But they could always change it. It might just be like a just in case.
But this isn't the first time they've done it. I think when they made PS2, mm-hmm. they trademarked up to PS5.
Yeah.
Like back in early 2000.
Yeah. One thing that's happening to me now is that I write PS5 already instead of writing PS4 when I make PS4 all the time.
It's like when the years so change and you like mess up the years for the first like month of January.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Sam's living in the future.
Yeah, always.
One thing that really excites me about this news is the idea that they're, because it's trademarked from PS 6 to 9, right?
No, through 10.
Through 10?
Yeah.
It
makes it seem that, like, you know, Sony's going to be in the console game for that long. Like, you know, with times changing in like Google Stadia and streaming and games as a service, like, and even just like seeing stuff like Xbox SAD, like the Xbox S all digital edition.
Yeah.
You know, these pushes towards maybe like changing how we consume games, how we buy games, and what like the gen even is, with like Switch coming out and kind of like jumping the gen, or what gen is it in? It like kind of calls into question like whether or not, like, how long will we have consoles for? Like, are we going to have consoles like 3, 4, 5 years from now? Like, how many more gens do we have left? Will these companies, especially like when we think of Microsoft and Sony, like these aren't just companies that make video games. Like, they do a bunch of other things, and like their other aspects of their company could affect like the gaming aspect and vice versa. So what I really like about this news is it makes me optimistic that consoles will be here to stay and will have a future, and that they're at least thinking about that far ahead. And if they like trademarked it once before and already we're hitting PS5, like, it makes me think that maybe we'll, you know, hit PS10.
Sure.
I think it's really interesting that video games have settled on the controller, TV, console, like, standard, and it's been that way for so long now, because 10 years ago, we would have said, oh, I don't know if we're going to have consoles in 10 years. Mm-hmm. And we said that, you know, probably 5 or 10 years before that, too, and it's really stuck to that part of the medium is stuck so... It's stuck in time, and I think that's a heartening thing, because that happens with movies too. And when we tried to go, you know, 3D for a long time, and I know 3D's still around, but it's, you know, whatever. People aren't
3D televisions are
freaking out about it. 3D televisions are a good example too. Or what was when The Hobbit came out? It was at the really high frame rate.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, every time those kind of push, and then people push against those, and they're just like, you know what? There's something about movies where it's in 2D, and I'm in a theater, and it really works. I think it's cool when mediums kind of settle in, and games are absolutely settled in a lot more than anybody thought, because we always consider them like future tech, and like we're part of, you know, tech journalism and stuff like that, but like they're not changing that much.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's crazy too, with, you know, games being such a new medium, for them to already kind of have their foothold in terms of like what does gaming look like technologically moving forward and in the current era.
That's why I would always bet against the controller, disc-based medium, console for now. Like, I just don't, I don't, it's working. I love it, you know, and everybody.
And gamers are so passionate about it, you know, like you've seen how they've been, they're pretty resistant to the whole idea of Google Stadia.
Yeah. You know? Like, it's almost like weird how negative it is, but yeah, I don't know. And maybe, you know, and I'm a big proponent for physical media. Like, I love physical media. I love GameStop. I like being able to buy my games. Like, I'm really into that. And I'm not necessarily like for or against Google Stadia, but like the pushback I've seen just from the audience, like whenever we talk about it, is like pretty surprising.
Yeah.
But I think it does come slightly from that place of like, I don't want this future to become normalized, because I don't want to like let go of physical media. And I struggle a lot with that, because, you know, I love stuff like Game Pass, but I also really like buying stuff physical. And it's like, you know, the Outer Worlds, like if I want to play that, I can already play it. So like, why would I buy it? But then like, maybe I should buy it, because then I'll have it physically. And then also I can maybe support the team in that way. And it kind of calls into all these other questions that I think
you're definitely supporting
them
by playing it on Game Pass.
Yeah, for sure. It's not like you're not, but like
this like argument on Twitter where people were like, well, if you love Outer Worlds, you should go buy it. And it's like, they see that people are playing it on Game Pass.
Yeah, I think it's fine either way. And I don't like to, you know, project or judge people too harshly for how they decide to spend their money, or how, what, you know, as long as they're not like stealing anything, this is a totally acceptable way to buy it. But I do think there's something cool about owning it on physical, and I am less inclined to buy it on physical if I can play it for free, quote unquote free, I'm paying for Game Pass on there. So, you know, it just kind of changes things.
Do you like when people draw on money?
Do I like when people draw money? I don't know. I don't really like it. It seems kind of tacky to me.
Yeah. Not into it.
Physical money is just kind of gross.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
It's very strange. I've used my credit card for everything now, that like someone hands me cash and I'm like, This is weird now. It's like gross. Like
I know where my credit card's been. Super paranoid about for kind of no reason, but then also kind of a lot of reasons, like Touch ID and like face scan and all that stuff. Like that stuff kind of skeeves me out. And it took me forever to use like voice stuff. Like I just started using Siri like a month ago and I'm like, everything's so much easier now. And I like want, I'm just waiting for like everything to be able to take Apple Pay so that I never have to like bring my debit card anywhere, but we're not there yet.
Call me old fashioned, but I use bags of quarters for everything.
Well, that's a little, you're a little bit unusual.
I have to get rid of them somehow.
Yeah, for all the pinball machines.
I think this is interesting that why did they stop at 10?
Why not? Like, why just
they don't want to get 10. Too cocky.
I mean,
you know?
Is that what it is? Yeah. Because the first joke everyone makes is like, well, I'm going to go and register a PlayStation.
I know. 11. I saw that joke so many times. Like,
yeah, I made it about 5 minutes ago. Yeah.
So we learned
it. But not in that same way. I did a little twist on it. So
if they kept,
it's a classic.
If these consoles kept up the same cadence, the PlayStation 10, I believe, would be out in 2054.
Oh, not bad.
Yeah.
Okay. Ooh.
Well, I'll see you guys then.
Jeez. No, you won't see me. No
That's
way.
That's scary.
I'm falling like apart, that. Man.
No.
His
hair is
like
falling out.
Left and right.
There's no way I'm making it to
what? The next PlayStation will be called the PlayStation 5. And apparently everyone after that will be a PlayStation something. What's the next Xbox called?
I know.
The Xbox.
Isn't that crazy? We just have no idea.
Okay, we I love guessing it, though. It's so fun.
Yeah. What, were you there for that conversation where we all stuck with her?
No.
We all had predictions?
No.
Okay. Do you remember any of them where you were there?
I said Super Xbox.
Super Xbox.
Ooh, I hate that.
So wow.
Yeah.
Well, okay. You don't have to play it then.
Okay, okay. Well, I'll just play my
theory, Xbox One. And it's dumb. I worked it out in my mind right now.
Nice.
Here we go.
Okay. The box.
Battlefield.
Huh?
Battlefield 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
Battlefield 1. Mm-hmm. Then they're like, eh. Battlefield 5. Mm-hmm. Okay? So this is the Xbox 4. Mm-hmm. It's got to be. They're just gonna graduate from college. It's just gonna be an Xbox 4.
Mm.
It's
spelled P H O R.
I think somebody suggested, I can't remember who was in this conversation, a lot more X's, like with the X's on the end as a joke. But I had a good one. I can't remember it now, Damon. I wish I would have researched this.
If it comes to you.
I won't.
Attached to the code names. Like, I really wanted the 1X just to be called the Scorpio. And I like that my 1X says Project Scorpio on it. Mm. I kind of just want this one to be called the Scarlet.
I would love for it to be called that. And I would love it to be Scarlet. Like, I really like that Xbox consoles, like the more recent ones, like the Xbox One S, like that looks nice. Like it's white. It's different. Like I can see the little designs in it because it's not just like another black box. Like so many consoles look like they could easily just be a DVD player or something. Mm. Like there's not a lot of personality to them. And I really like having
Slim.
Yeah.
Basically,
I hate the PS4 Slim. It's like, it didn't need to be thinner. Like it was already really thin. So the PS4 Slim looks like super ugly to me because it's too thin. The PS4, I don't like it. It looks slanted and I never know where the power and eject button is, even though I have one at my desk and use it all the time.
It's tough.
Sam, you remember yours?
Xbox Zero, by the way.
Xbox Live.
That's actually a great
it could
call.
Be.
Yeah, because like
it's if really
they're,
great.
They're gonna really tie in the streaminess and stuff
that's
like
the,
that. Oh yeah. And
that's the metric that's most important to them these days.
And aren't they doing that thing where like the next Xbox that comes out, you can like get this package where, or maybe someone just on Twitter was talking about the idea of doing it, but where you can
That's a great segue.
Yep.
That's exactly what we're
What are they doing, Damon?
They're having an upgrade program.
What? Yep.
Yeah. And we actually got an email about this case from Indiana. He emailed us at the email address. Gamescoop@IGN.com or GooseCamp@IGN.com or OmegaCops@IGN.com. And he says, big fan of the show. I'm currently playing on a launch Xbox One, which has recently begun to have occasional frame rate issues, and the fans run very loudly, especially during newer games. Looking at you, Destiny 2 Shadowkeep. Now that we're only a year away from the next console launch, would you suggest holding off on an upgrade or looking to an Xbox One X for the next few months of game releases? And that's fitting because Microsoft just announced this week with its Xbox All Access program.
Yep.
If you buy a new Xbox, you know, right now before December 31st this year, you're going to be paying a monthly payment. If it's an Xbox One X, it's like $31 a month. Yep. After 12 months of payment, you can upgrade to the Xbox Scarlet next year.
That's a crazy deal, though, because it comes with an Xbox One X. And it comes with Game Pass Ultimate.
Not a crazy deal because it doesn't end up being that much cheaper over the long run.
Mm-hmm. Well, how much is Game Pass?
You sign up for 24 months.
Yeah.
$31 a month comes up to $700-some. So if you consider the $400 an Xbox One X costs plus the $300-ish that you would pay for $15 a month for Game Pass, you end up saving like $16 at the end of it all. So it's not Xbox a great.
What are you guys going to do with those $60?
$500 though.
What are you going to do with your Xbox One X that you have? Right
well,
now?
So that's
you trade it in.
Yeah,
I know. But like, what are they going
to
do with
and
it?
And then you get the scroll.
They can sell it to someone else, used. Refurbished or something.
Always going to want those.
People buy refurbished consoles.
Yeah. After the new console comes out,
for sure. Sure,
that's the
it's
best.
Backwards compatible.
That's the best time to buy it.
Think about how cheap it's going
to
be.
Yeah, you don't want to buy it when it's like hot. You want to buy it like right when it just became old enough to be like this is old, but not old enough to be like this is retro. That's when you should.
It is going
to
be a strange landscape this year because everybody was like, well, maybe Strangescape. Maybe we'll hold on to our PS3 so we could still play our PS3 games and PS3 can play PS1 games and all that jazz. But now it's just going to be like, it's just going to be flooded because everyone's just going to get rid of their PS4s because they don't need them anymore because they'll have PS5.
I mean, this happens
because of the backwards. No, I'm talking about because of backwards compatibility.
Yeah. I know. And what was weird about the PlayStation 3 era is that people could keep certain PlayStation 3s and then have really good access to PS1 and PS2 games.
Yeah.
Although not every PS3 plays PS2.
Like the 60-gig one or something like that.
Yeah.
It's the only one.
Exquisite retro console somehow now. So there was a reason to keep it. I mean, I still have mine. Mm. That was an interesting thing. Mm. I wish the PS4 played all those systems.
Yep.
All right. Now I want to talk about the undead.
Is that just the end of Castlevania 3?
Yeah, the all clear.
That's
you beat the
so
game.
So cool.
Oh, sorry. Spoilers. You just heard what the end of Castlevania 3 sounds like.
Audio spoilers.
That's good because I wasn't going to play it. So there we go.
The undead games, game franchises that just will not die. What do you think are, no spoilers here. What do you think are some of the longest running game franchises?
Mario.
Yeah.
Mario's up there. Mario's been going 37 years. And is number 3 on this list of longest running.
Wow.
So who do you think could possibly be running longer? And I want to say this is a franchise that are still receiving new releases in the series within the last couple of years.
Asteroids.
Yeah. No, that's I don't think that's had a
Space Invaders
new release. would you believe Galaxian?
Yeah, that's 1979.
Because there's a Galaga Revenge released this year.
That's cool.
On mobile.
Okay.
But the longest running one, what would you think is the longest running game franchise? Well, it's a little bit of a trick question.
Tetris?
Pong?
No, I would say Pong or Breakout or I would say Space Invaders.
Or Oregon Trail.
Oh, yeah.
We got a handheld version of Oregon Trail just last year.
There's text adventures from like the late 60s.
That's 46 years.
When did Oregon Trail come out?
It has text.
46 years ago.
46.
So that's 1973. And yeah, there was like text-based, you know, educational games that were on mainframes that were became Oregon Trail. Yeah. If Zork was still around, that would be early.
It's crazy how well that game ages.
People like, still like playing Oregon Trail today.
I had no idea it was that old when I like played it like in elementary school, social studies class. When I was
but none
to
of us played that version. This is just a text version.
Like, right.
Just
text. But even the idea though that I get what you're saying where it's like it's not like that version is what I played as a kid, like the text version, but just the idea that that concept in that built
cool?
his stood the test of time.
All right, that brings us to video game 20 questions.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Our suggestion this week comes from John in Baltimore. And would you believe it? He provided two options. One for normal mode, one for hard mode.
I don't like this. I don't like that this is happening.
Why, you don't like that you have to choose?
No, because it takes the pressure off of you choosing. And this is like your one job every week.
This is my one job.
Our job is to win.
We have no barometer for what hard and normal is.
All right, you've voted.
No, we do. Hard, we don't ever get.
Well, then I choose normal.
We're going to play on normal mode?
I play on normal because that's what most players would play on.
That's true.
That's what a critic should do.
Yes.
All right, we're playing on normal mode. Let the questioning begin.
Was the hard game from before? No, I'm just Look, I do this all the time. You guys need to start asking.
Did this game come out?
You gotta get the ball roll.
Did this game come out after January 1st, 1990?
No.
Not after? Oh, no.
Guys, it's fine.
We're done.
Sam, take it away.
It's a normal mode 80s game. That's easy.
That's why I said, Sam, take it away.
Is it Oregon Trail?
Is this a spooky game?
Yes.
Is this a game to have great music?
No.
How definitive that was. That's great. Is this based on a license?
No.
Ooh. Does this have monsters in it?
Yes. That's 5.
Is it on NES?
Yes.
Is it a monster in the title?
Yes.
What?
Is it Monster Party?
Yes.
All right, should we do the hard one?
Is that a record? Or?
That's not a record. That was 8 questions.
What's a record for me just only asking the questions?
I asked the first
question. She got the ball rolling.
I think you really helped. That's definitely a Janet record.
If she
this is the fastest she's ever got a 20 question.
Yeah, if she had said 2,000, we would have gone down this crazy rabbit hole.
Monster Party. Have Mark and Janet ever heard of Monster Party?
I don't think so.
No.
It has bad music. I knew what it was when Damon said that about the
NES game.
What's wrong with the music?
I don't know. I tried to play it the other day and it was just kind of dull.
It's just totally. It's probably unremarkable.
You do get to inchworm in that game.
You do get to
go
do that.
In your stomach and then you go like across like this.
It's a platformer.
No,
it's a bad platformer with monsters. Published by Bandai. Do you know who developed it? They're no longer in business. They were called something. I think Human Entertainment.
Yes, Human. Yeah. I disagree that it's a bad game. I actually think it's fun. Mm. I'm going to go with fun.
Okay.
But
is it good?
Yeah.
Is it going to be fun and bad?
That's true.
I think it might be fun and bad.
Okay.
But it's playable, and you know. Well, let me just say that you fight a wishing well that shoots money at you in this game as one of the monsters.
Okay.
You fight a fried food frequently as one of the monsters.
Fried food,
yeah, like onion rings.
Oh, okay.
You know legs.
That sounds like my real life.
I don't know meat terms.
You know what a crazy fun fact about this game is? Considering how weird the game is, in that it was developed in Japan, published by Bandai, not released in Japan.
Really?
Isn't that insane?
Huh. They're like, Americans are going to love this game.
Yeah, it's like so
but
weird.
You know what? I don't think the kids here are going to like it.
Yeah.
Cool.
That was crazy.
Are you doing hard mode?
Sure.
Okay.
Oh boy. Janet, take it away.
You guys down?
Did this game come out after?
Let's reset. All right. We're now in hard mode.
I get to take this off.
This is new game. 20 questions, new game plus.
Sam's getting ready.
You get to keep all the stuff you earned in the first round.
Cool.
Nice. First playthrough.
That's really great. Mm-hmm.
Did this game come out after January 1st, 1990?
Yes.
Cool. Now we're on the war.
Well, hold on.
Ooh.
Oh.
The most popular version of this game did. But this, I've spoiled it. This game straddles, the release of straddles the year 1990.
Wow.
Across multiple platforms.
Did this come out on the NES?
Yes.
As one of the platforms?
Yeah.
Good.
Boy.
Okay.
Is this a spooky game?
Yes.
Is it based on a license?
No.
Did this game come out for multiple consoles?
He already answered that.
No.
Does this have sequels?
No. That's 5.
Okay. Standalone 90s game that was ported to the NES. Did this have a PC release?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Is it a platformer?
That really narrows it down, actually.
Is it a platformer? No.
Ugh.
Spooky PC game that came to the NES that's very obscure.
Is it a point-and-click adventure game?
Yes.
We got this.
Yeah, so is
it's the one where you can microwave the mouse or whatever.
No, it's not that one because we've had that like 2 times before, and that's one of Damon's favorite games. But
maybe
I think it's this game called like Deadly Towers or Dark Towers or something. Deadly Towers, I think is what it's called. But we can eliminate that one if you want.
What's it called?
It's called
Maniac Mansion.
Maniac Mansion, yeah.
Okay.
Does this game have good music?
It's totally...
Yeah, he loves the Maniac Mansion music.
The music in this game is not particularly good.
Okay.
I think it's this point-and-click adventure called Deadly Tower, but I'm probably wrong about that because I just don't know the name of it. I'm never going to get it because I can like see this game, but I'm never going to get it. So that's okay.
well, we know.
Oh, no, there's also Shadowrun, but I don't know if that's spooky.
It's got Shadow.
I don't know how to narrow this stuff down. Is Shadowrun... Oh, God. Have we mentioned this game yet?
No.
Okay, good.
That's 10.
Is it Princess Tomato in the Salad Kingdom?
Are you guessing that? Because if you're wrong, you lose.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Can't do that.
I think I might have to go with that as a joke answer because I don't think I'll be able to name the PC first-person point-and-click adventure on NES that this is because I can't picture playing it or what the box art would be.
Yeah, I wouldn't know. I thought it was...
Let me go into my Mind Palace. Keep asking questions.
Okay.
Hard mode.
Can I go into Sam's Mind Palace?
Ask about genre and monsters and sci-fi.
We already know the genre.
We already know that it's a point-and-click adventure.
No. The spookiness. Is it a sci-fi game? Is it a horror game?
Oh, okay.
Okay, let's see. So are there any universal monsters in the game?
No.
Okay. So no, you know, Dracula's, okay, that kind of deal, Frankenstein monsters. So
that's a really good question.
Let's see.
Is this a medieval set game?
No.
Okay, well, Sam's at his mind palace. I gotta go into my own mind palace.
Is it about murder?
No. Jeez. I think I know what you're going after with that one, though.
Okay, good.
About murder, like about a murder? That's what you mean? Yeah, no, it's not.
Huh. Yeah, I would never get it because I don't know any point of click adventure games.
Is this set in like contemporary times?
Yeah, I think so. I think for when it was released, I think so.
Huh. Yeah. So
at least it wasn't like in the distant past.
Point and click.
Might have been a couple decades in the past, but
yeah.
Did we ask the sequel question?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, no, it's the only game in the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I feel like I'm just right on the edge of this one.
Oi.
There's like, was this a Nintendo Power cover, do you know?
No, it's not that level.
No way.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that is 15. Okay. Said he wanted something spooky.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Is this zombie themed?
Not zombie themed, no.
Okay.
Can't think of a. Yeah.
Does this have skeletons in it?
Yes. That's 17.
Wait, there. Man, I would go with Ghoul School, but that's a platformer. And a cool Halloween game. It's terrible. It's a terrible game. Is the company that made this still around?
No, not the developer. The developer is no longer with us. Spooky.
They're the skeletons. Man, it's got skeletons in it.
You have a question and a guess.
That's pretty cool.
You might even say...
All games have skeletons in them.
You might even say there's a skeleton on the box art.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, but now I still can't think of the game.
No idea.
Now I'm just picturing a case with a skeleton on it. With the case.
I don't know where else to go with this. Do you shoot a gun in this game?
No. Yeah. No.
Okay.
Ready to give up the ghost?
Yeah.
Uninvited.
Oh, yeah.
Nope.
The NES first-person adventure game where you explore a haunted house.
Oh, a haunted house theme. That's cool. Right.
In the same family of games as, not Shadowrun, Shadowgate.
Shadowgate
being one of my favorite games of all time. And also there's a trilogy of games on the NES. Shadowgate Deja Vu, which is the murder mystery one.
That's on the cover of Nintendo Power.
And then
that's where I was going with that.
Uninvited, which has a spooky skeleton on the cover.
Hmm. Okay, so it's a haunted house, so there's skeletons. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Developed by ICOM Software.
ICOM. Mm.
But published by Kimco, which is still around.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What are they doing?
They probably do some Japanese like medieval fighting games or something.
So who does this reader get to at? It's not me, because I won.
You won.
Well, you played again.
You won normal mode, but not hard mode.
All right, fine. You can at me.
Okay. That's John from Baltimore.
All right, John. Let's talk about Uninvited.
What's your day?
All right. Well, that is all the spooks that we have for you this week. Remember, you can always reach us at the email address gamescoop@IGN.com, goosecamp@IGN.com, and omegacops@IGN.com. If you listened to this podcast, make sure to check us out on YouTube, youtube.com/gamescoop for some fun Easter eggs. And also look forward to the bonus episode.
Yeah.
That's also coming this week, and also a spooky episode.
And you can also look forward to lots of great candy.
There is lots of candy. Yeah, it's true. There might even be a spooky skeleton on the episode. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm just saying.
I'm just saying candy in their lives. So I'm not going to give them candy. Just that week, right?
Yeah.
It's bad.
It's just candy week.
It's candy week.
I've been eating so much candy off
until
Damon's
December.
Desk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's thanks to one of our
candy
listeners.
Gets really bad in December.
Really?
Candy canes and.
You don't like candy?
I like those Hershey,
old timey candy.
They're like the peppermint ones. Those are good.
Those are good.
What about
peppermint versions?
Like
of
when companies that already make candy do the holiday twist, they can rock it. But when candy canes come out, stay back. You don't know.
It's like the Lindor squares, and it's like, but now there's little bits of pepper.
Yeah.
This morning, because it was cold, I get a caramel macchiato from Starbucks almost every day, and I got a pump of peppermint in it. Just nice.
Peppermint.
Just you guys ever had?
That's downright delightful.
Yeah, it was great.
Peppermint bark.
Yeah, totally.
That stuff will kill you.
Yeah.
Great.
I love it. Sir, would you like a pump of peppermint in your caramel macchiato?
Yeah.
You know what? Yeah. Yeah, you know go what? Ahead. Go ahead.
It's Wednesday.
Yeah. Pump day, am I right?
Pump day. Pump. All right.
All right. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Janet. My name is Damon. This is IGN Game Scoop, and we're out.
Welcome.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.